السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله with the فضل كرم and إحسان of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Allah Ta'ala has gathered us once again on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. Just off, totally off the topic, but just a little reflection on the Ummat. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, most important Salah of the week. Now you look around you now and see how many believers give utmost importance to this one occasion. Many, many of us, due to our weakness, this is the only ta'lim we receive for the entire week. But this is our importance and the interest that we show to it, number one. Number two, people are calling for jihad. Make jihad, ulama must give fatwa for jihad and must do this and do that. See who we got in the front saf. Half the saf is on chairs. They're all elderly people. They got some weakness, some pain, some kamzori. So they are on chairs. So how many mujahideen we got? You give a call now for jihad. How many people going to respond to this call? So this is why our ulama, when they are telling us to join the work of tabligh, build our iman. Go to the khanqah, build our iman. Go to the darul uloom, build our iman. Because for as long as that iman is not built up, the rest of it is hot air. The rest of it is hot air we are just blowing. Until and unless iman is not built up within a person, iman, yaqeen, tasleem, tafweez, rida bil qada, all these things are not there, the rest that we are blowing is all just hot air. So we're not looking in a way to become despondent, but we're looking in a way to create some fikr within us. Let's create some fikr that when this is the halat, the condition of our moves, now by the time it comes time for salah, now you see the masjid is filled up. So it shows that there are many mu'mineen, there are many Muslims. But what importance do we attach our deen? Just now, if one supermarket says we are having half price sale, you see how many Muslims will be queuing up there. Although there is so much taklif to go at that time when they are having half price sale, to park is a problem, to get in is a problem, to find what you are looking for is a problem, to go to the till is a problem. But see how many Muslims will be queuing up there, even though that person has got enough wealth also. He doesn't really need that. One is a person is living below the bread line, he can't afford certain things. Now they're throwing a half price sale. I'm not saying it's not permissible to go if you got wealth. What I'm trying to say is that we will endure that taklif. Whatever taklif is to get a few rands of this item and a few rands of that item, we will endure that taklif. But when it comes to our deen, then we are not prepared to take any difficulty whatsoever. No qurbani, no mujahada, nothing. Everything must just be smooth sailing, last in, first out, that type of mentality and that type of attitude we have towards our deen. So when the Muslim ummah has this type of an attitude, then can we ask ourselves why the ummah is suffering around the globe? This is the attitude of the ummah towards our deen, important aspects of our deen. then do we even have to look elsewhere to find out why the Muslims are suffering around the globe? Now we'll sit and we'll cry that the Jews are not allowing the Muslims to read namaz in Aqsa. Here, who's stopping us? There, the Jews are not allowing the Muslims. Here, who's stopping us? Nobody is stopping us. So why are we not coming here? Here, nobody is stopping. Nobody got any age restrictions. Nothing. You don't have to apply. Nothing. You can just come any time. 5 times a day. In fact, you can spend even more time than 5 times a day. But here, we're not filling. So shaitan puts us in a dhoka. That we got so much of fikr for deen, we worried about those Muslims who can't go read namaz in Aqsa. What about those of us who got free reign? We can go, no restrictions, nothing. We're not coming to the masjid for salah. So these are important, important things that we have to keep reminding ourselves, and we have to keep bringing this fikr about. We have to start ta'lim in our homes. Read Fazailus Salah. Read the warnings for discarding of salah. Expose our children to the ta'lim of mashayikh, jamaats come, let our children get involved, then this fikr will be created. But until we don't do these things, and the only thing we're feeding them with is dunya, 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 dunyavi education, must work, must earn, all that, then that will be their fikr. Then that's why they can stand in a queue to save 2 rand on an item. They can stand no matter how long, and after that when he comes out also he'll be so proud of himself that I saved 100 rand, 200 rand on this trolley of groceries. Khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, tells Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. That my salah, my qurbani, all the other manasik, my living, my death, all this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La sharika lah. There is no partner for Allah pak. Wa bidhalika umirt. And this is what I have been instructed. This is what I have been commanded. Wa ana awwalul muslimin. And I am the first of the Muslims. When we read this dua, when we're making our qurbani, we say, Wa ana minal muslimin. I am from the muslimin. But in the Quran Sharif, for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Wa ana awwalul muslimin. This dunyavi life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, Allah Pak has made it such that we have to work, we have to earn, we have to marry, we have children, we have to go to our job, whatever, all our activities, we have to do these things. But at the same time, we must not allow the love for these things to come into our hearts, to come into our lives. This example has been given numerous times. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to give it. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali mentions it in his kitab. Other mashayikh also give this example, that for a ship to sail, you need water. And if it is a huge ship, a big ship is traveling a long distance, you need a lot of water also. You can't take a big ship and put it in a small little stream. It won't move. You need a lot of water. You need the waters of the ocean for it to move. So no matter how much of water, is there, that's not a problem. The only thing is that the ship must stay on top of the water. For as long as the ship is on top of the water, regardless of how much water, when the ship is in the harbor, so there maybe the depth is 20 meters, 25 meters, 30 meters. Once it goes out towards the back line, maybe there's 60 meters, 70 meters water. After that, when it's going in the deep sea, 150, 200 meters deep the ocean is. But this ship, as long as the water is at the bottom and the ship is on the top, no problem. It will continue sailing with the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. But as soon as the water of that ocean starts getting into the ship, then there is a problem. If the waters of the ocean get into the ship, now that ship will sink. As long as it is beneath the ship, there's no problem. But because the ship or that fishing boat or whatever ski boat has to move in the water, some water will come into the boat. Some water will come into the boat. So this is why they have a drain pipe, you know. So too much water filling in the boat, you can open that knob there and the water goes out. Now all this is not in Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi, and Hazrat Rahmatuddin mentioned this here. This is because we used to do all these funny things now. That's why we know a little bit. So we can share it with you. So they have the water starts filling in the boat, then they can open there. Otherwise it's an old boat, they haven't got that, then that fellow will take the bucket and throw the water out. It's a little canoe or something. He'll empty it out. But the sabak is that we have to be in this dunya. No matter how much of fitna there is, the volume, the amount and the types of fitna will only increase. As we go towards Qiyamah, it will get worse and worse and worse. But this doesn't affect the believer. Because the believer has to stay on top. He has to utilize it, he has to move with it, but he stays on top. He doesn't allow for this fitna to come into him. He doesn't allow for these fitnas, these gunas, these haram things, haram attractions, etc. to come into him. If he allows for this to come into him, then he is going to sink his a'mal, and Allah forbid that he sinks his iman. Right? But because he's going through this dunya, here and there something will come. So you need a drain pipe. You need a drain pipe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite grace, His infinite mercy, His infinite wisdom, has kept these drain pipes for us from time to time. Different amal, Allah Pak makes it wajib upon us. Not even nafal, wajib, farz. And by complying with these amal, whatever little bit water came inside, whatever little fitna came inside, whatever rust has accumulated, all this will move out. Provided we do these things properly. One is Ramadan Sharif. We keep our roza. That is like a proper doing the whole hull and polishing the whole boat, repainting everything, rubberizing everything properly. Ramadan Sharif. But that can't be done all the time. Allah Pak gives us these 10 days of Zulhijjah that will be coming up. Inshallah, in the coming weeks we will speak about the fazail of those 10 days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us salah every day of our life. That a person, if he is a namazi, he's reading his 5 times salah, then 5 times a day his alignment is put right. He went out into the marketplace, he's just becoming a little bit ghafil, zuhr time needs to come. He goes back into the marketplace, before he allows his nafs to get ghafil, asr time. He goes home, beautiful wife, he's got beautiful children, before he gets too immersed in that, namaz, maghrib, isha. Nafs wants to go to sleep, it's summer day is getting long, isha get late. Nafs wants to go to sleep, I said, no, I have to go read my isha salah first. After isha, nafs wants to enjoy. So there's so much entertainment, so many things to do. No, I got to wake up for Fajr, I got to wake up for Tahajjud, so I must get to bed. So it keeps the person's alignment right. That is like a compass on the boat. The person keeps checking where he's going, he mustn't go in the wrong direction. You see the sailors, the ship is moving, but it's moving on water. So he puts it in the right line. After that, if it's moving off, he turns his big wheel again, make sure it's on the right line. Like that, the salah keeps us aligned. Anytime the nafs wants to go off, the next namaz time comes in, we get aligned. Then we get the amal of zakat. Zakat, we have to take out from our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif in different places that insan loves his wealth. In Suratul Adiyat, Wal Adiyati Dabha, they also Allah Pak mentions. I'm just thinking of the ayat. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٍ. There the khayr is referring to wealth. He's very, very intense in his love for his wealth. In another place in the Quran Sharif, I think in Surah Baqarah, Allah Pak mentions, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Despite him having a lot of love for his wealth, but he still gives it. So money is a thing like that. Money is a thing like that. You get a person also, he make purchases, now he's going to make out his check. But he made the purchases. He knows he has to pay, but time to make out the check now. You know, think 10 times now, amount. Check properly. Can't part with an extra rand, you know. Check properly, I mustn't get had here, you know. Person has got love for his money. It's a fitri thing, it's fitrati. Naturally, a person, Allah Pak blessed him with wealth, he has an attachment to that wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made certain a'mal, faraz upon us, that whether we like it or not, we have to spend that wealth. And by spending that wealth, the love of that wealth doesn't become too intense. Now the person is accumulating wealth over the year, he's working, this deal, that deal. But he knows in the back of his mind, no matter how much, the more I'm accumulating, the more I'm going to have to pay zakat. And time comes for him to pay his zakat, he works it out properly. You know, I have to take out so much, whether I like it or not. But I have to take out so much from this wealth of mine. It must go. Now, if a person has got little wealth, sometimes it's easier. A person is wealth 10 million, 20 million. Now it's big, big figures he has to take out. Sometimes 250,000, 500,000, 1,000,000. A person has to take out in zakat. Now with 1,000,000 rand he can buy another house. 1,000,000 rand he can buy for his son one sports car. The person who has to take out 2,000 rand, 1,000 rand, he says, 1,000 rand, what can you really do with it? But the person who's in a big figures, now he has to take out 1,000,000 rand in zakat, 2,000,000 rand in zakat. You can do a lot. You can take that same 1,000,000, 2,000,000 and invest it for the whole year and turn it couple a good few times before paying it. But he says, no. This is a hukam of my Allah. I need to give this money. So by him taking that money and giving it out, love, wrong love for money doesn't start growing in the heart. Hajj, young couple, they have just started out in life. So many things they want to acquire. They want to buy a new home, they want to buy a better car. You know, when you're young, you've got so many ambitions. Sometimes you sit back and you think, how foolish was I? You see, when new car came out, you're like, so in, hey, I must have that car. What's that car is my dream car. After that, when you get a little older, if Allah Pak blesses with hikmat, some people don't come out of the dream. Some people don't come out of the dream, they remain in the dream. But if Allah Pak wakes the person up and he comes out of the dream and he sits back and he thinks, I was so passionate over a piece of metal. Piece of metal that rusts. I was so passionate over this thing at that time when I was young. I have pictures of it. Every time that car goes past, like my life, my heart came out. See that car, hey, must see that thing. Later on, if Allah Pak wakes the person up from the dream, he says something, how foolish was I? How stupid was I? These things are just there to be used. You carry on, it's there, use it. Get on with life. So many things that young couple wants to do. But when they come into their first lot of money, now they say, no, Hajj is faraz on us. Because so many dunyavi ambitions, so many things we want to purchase, so many things we want to do. But no, no, no. Allah's hukam comes first. This money came from Allah. Allah has commanded us now, if we got money, we have to go for Hajj. So leave everything else. Leave the car one side. Leave the buying of the house one side. Leave all those things one side. Leave the holiday destination. We're going to take this money. We're going to go for Hajj. Like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this amal of qurbani. And this amal of qurbani is very unique. It's very, very unique. Because in this amal of qurbani, if a person does it properly, you see, fitrati torpar, we don't want to get dirty. And especially those of us who maybe who are teaching in a madrasa, right? Or those who are sitting in an office, or those who are running a shop or something, we don't really get dirty. Unlike a mechanic or, you know, somebody who's doing work where they get dirty every day. But most of us, we don't have that type of profession, that type of work. We normally leave home clean, we come back clean. So we don't want to get dirty. If we went to the walima too and one grain of rice, some little bit of oil came on the kurta or something, khalas, now we need to wash, irritates us. But in this amal of qurbani, the person has to go from long before. Every time he's going to the farm, his car is getting dirty. And we South Africans, bichara, we have to polish our tires also. So much love we got for our motor cars. One buzur came and when I went to Malawi a couple of weeks back, so I see there they wash the cars, they don't polish the tires. Tires all, you know, they don't polish them. When they finish wash the car, you look at the car like something abnormal. Like, but our cars, even the tires be shining. Now why they don't wash they don't polish the tires? Because only the main road in the village got a little bit tar. It got some dig holes to in between. No dig hole. Here we say pothole. There they got dig holes. So they got some dig holes, but at least there's some tar. But once you turn right or left, you're on gravel now. You're on dirt road. So it's senseless, putting polish on the tires. So they don't worry about the tires. They just wash the car a little bit. So I was telling that Moana there. I told him, some Moana Junaid is from the UK. He's settled there in Malawi. So I'm telling him, I say, you know, in South Africa, we polish the tires. So one buzurg came to our country and he saw that the boy was washing the car and he was polishing the tires by one of the houses where he went for Dawat. So he got a bit astonished, you know. So he asked that, he said, kya ye gari urte hai? He said, do these cars fly? You're polishing. That man goes on the road. So you see, if it goes on the road, why you're polishing the tire? In the next couple of minutes, it's going to be dirty again. Because they live in those type of conditions, you know. So now the person who is calm must be tip-top. Now he has to go in the farm. Sometimes that car is getting grazed at the bottom, is hearing that exhaust. It's hitting him, yeah. The exhaust is getting touched there on the grass, but it's hitting him here in his heart. And then every time he goes to the farm and come out, that thing, you can make tayammum on his car. So much dust he came out. So that same car which must be sparkling all the time, now the car is getting dirty all the time. Then the children are going in the goo there, they're jumping in the car, the mats are getting couple marbles. Now all that he has to stomach because it's amal of qurbani. So the love for that motor car also will get erased. That this car Allah Pak gave, I'll use it. Allah Pak told me to do qurbani. His shoes are getting missed. His clothing is smelling like a sheep. And then comes the day of qurbani. Now the day of qurbani also, if it happens to be a Sunday, who doesn't want to sleep till late? And then who doesn't want to just relax? And generally Sunday now we must, you know, doll up a little bit and... He said, normally adat, because you got extra time, so a person will dress up nicely, have a nice bath, clean his moustache, everything. Now he must be playing with blood. He must be slaughtering and skinning and carrying intestines and all these type of things. So on the one hand, it's a physical ibadat. On the other hand, the things that go against his nature, things that he doesn't do every day, he's not used to these things. He has to do those things. And on the other hand, he has to spend his money also. Normally a person, he'll spend money in what he likes. Yeah, now, he doesn't want the smell, he doesn't want the blood, he doesn't want to get dirty, but he's spending money to do all that. Why? Allah Pak ordered it. So this amal of qurbani, it is such a thing, that if a person does it properly, with the proper mindset, is keeping in his mind all the time, this is my Allah's command, I will endure whatever has to go with it. This in itself can make his Islam. This in itself can bless him with Qurb Ilahi. So these are all the things that takes that water out. That water that is accumulating that can sink us, it takes it out. And a person's alignment remains straight. The love for these things don't remain in the heart. A person understands that it's there to be used for the pleasure of Allah, for the sake of Allah. On any other occasion, tell him to take his car in the farm. He says, sorry, boy, I got no work there. But now, qurbani time, he has to go. He will take it, he will go. So we must do Qurbani with an open heart. Happily we must do Qurbani. And I was mentioning to the Musallis in the morning, those that set for the Qurbani Masail. We are discussing the Masail of Qurbani after the Fajr Salah. So those that were sitting, I was mentioning to them that this Qurbani is something that we have to get personally involved. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, He just wanted to test Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam with his son, then so many people are losing children. What makes this so unique? So many people are losing children. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam lost his son in the flood. He was also a Nabi, and that son passed away on kufr. So what makes this amal of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam so unique? The thing that makes it so unique was that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had to take his son himself and go and put the knife on his throat. He didn't have to slaughter him. Allah Pak just wanted to see whether he will do it. Allah Pak didn't want him to slaughter his son. So he had to go personally and do it himself. That's what makes it so unique. If it is just about just getting the Qurbani done, then what makes it so unique? That we're doing every month. Every month we want meat. The butcher man does it for us. The abattoir does it for us. So what difference will there be if we treat this Qurbani same like that? They just give some money there. They do everything. They deliver the chops home. That same like the butcher story. Here there has to be a difference. There has to be a difference in this Qurbani. There has to be a spirit of Qurbani. A lot of people say, yeah, I don't know about this thing. Array, when we were 15 years old, we said we don't know about it. We're 30 years old, we're saying we don't know about it. 45, we still don't know about it. 60, we still don't know about it. When are we going to learn about it? And even if a person doesn't know, what qualification does he have, does he need to have to be present? He doesn't know, what qualification does he need to have to be present? Our motor cars have evolved. Motor cars have evolved. The person who is 60 years old now, he doesn't say, man, you know all this computer thing and all this new story in the motor cars, I don't know this thing, I'll drive that 1970 car, 1980 car. No. He moves with the time. The cell phones, he moves with the time. Each new toy they come out with, we learn it. So we're not too old to learn. And if we really don't know, and we can't do, but we can be present, we can be a part of it. So we must bear this in mind, that this Qurbani is something that we must do. We must get involved with it. And even those who cannot afford to do Qurbani, those who cannot afford, they don't have nisab, it's not wajib upon them. But if our neighbor is doing, if on some farm they are doing, go and witness the Qurbani. Take our children, let them see what it is about, so that the spirit of Qurbani stays alive. Inshallah, in the coming weeks, we'll discuss some other things related to this, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's life, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam's life. But from now we must start, if we haven't already, we must start at least purchasing our Qurbani animals or making some effort in that direction. Allah Pak give us tawfiq.